Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Mardell, and it's time for another exciting chapter in Black Bartleby's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnall. Chapter 15, Telleth of a Nameless Black Ship. And now within my gloomy hiding place, dim lit by flickering lanthorn, I passed many weary hours, while all about me was a stir and bustle, a confused sound made up of many, as the never-ending tread of feet, the sound of hoarse voices now faint and far, and anon clear and loud, the scrape of a fiddle, snatches of rough song, the ceaseless ring and tap of hammers, a very babel that, telling of life and action, made my gloomy prison the harder to endure. And here, mindful of what is to follow, I do think it well to describe in a few words the place wherein I lay. It was indeed a very dog-hole, just below the orlop, some 10 feet square or thereabouts, shut in betwixt bulkheads, mighty solid and strong, but with a crazy door so ill-hung as to leave a good 3 inches twixt it and the flooring. It had been a storeroom, as I guessed, and judging by the reek that reached me above the stench of the bilge, had of late held rancid fat of some sort. Just abaft the mizzen it lay, and hard against the massy rudder post, for I could hear the creak and groan of the pintles as the rudder swung to the tide. Against one bulkhead I had contrived a rough bunk with divers planks and barrels, the which with mattress and bedding was well enough. Now opposite my berth, within easy reach of my hand, was a knot-hole, the which by some trick of the grain had much the look of a great staring eye, insomuch that, having no better employ, I fell to improving on nature's handiwork with my knife, carving and trimming around it. And in betwixt my sleeping, my eating and drinking, for Adam and God be kept me excellent well supplied, I would betake me to my carving and fashioning of this eye, and with my initials below it, the which, foolish business, fond and futile though it was, served in no small measure to abate my consuming impatience and the dreary tedium. Howbeit, on the third day, my situation becoming unbearable, I stumbled out from my dog-hole, and groping my way past kegs and barrels, firm wedged in place against the rolling of the vessel, I climbed the ladder to the orlop. Here I must needs pause, for dim though it was, the light from the open scuttle nigh blinded me. In a while, my eyes growing strong, I got me to the main deck, where, again, I must stay to shade my eyes by reason of the radiance that poured through an open gun port. Glancing around after some while, I saw no one and wondered, for here was the main gun deck. 10 great pieces aside, I counted, with ports for divers more. I was yet wondering at the emptiness about me when I heard sudden uproar from the deck above my head. Shouts, cries, a rush and patter of many feet, and above all Penfeather's furious hail. Wondering, I came to the open port, and leaning out saw it was evening, with a heavy mist creeping down upon the waters. And through the mist loomed a great black ship drifting lubberly across our hows. Louder and more furious grew the shouting above, answered by a hail aboard of the great black craft as broadside on she swung towards us. And now creeping in the mist, I beheld a small boat with a great shapeless bundle in the stern sheets and rowed by a single waterman who swung easily to his oars, scanning now the faithful friend, now the great black ship, like one who bided the inevitable crash. Sudden I heard the roar of one of Penfeather's ever-ready pistols, followed by his voice upraised in vicious sea-curses, and glancing up saw the black ship right aboard of us, and braced myself for the impact. Came a shock, a quiver of creaking timbers, and the groan of our straining hawsers, as the black ship falling off drifted by in a roaring storm of oaths and blasphemy. Now when her battered stern galley was nigh lost in the mist, bethinking me of the boat I had seen, I glanced about and beheld matter that set me wondering. For he was the fellow plying his oars with a will, and so near that I might have tossed a biscuit aboard him. Moreover, the great mishapen bundle had lain in the stern sheets was there no longer, which set me mightily a-wondering. Long after man and boat were swallowed up in the fog, I sat there lost in thought, insomuch that I started to feel a hearty clap on the shoulder, and turning beheld Godby, a pair of great gold rings in his ears, and very sailor-like in all things from sea boots to mariner's bonnet. "Here's a ploy, Martin," says he with round oath. "Here's yon cursed lubberly craft carried away our starboard cat head and 6 feet of the harpins with it, sink 'em, and us but waiting for my lady to come aboard to trip anchor and away. And now here's we, shore-bound for another 2 days at the least. I'm a gunner, and all on account of yon black dog, burn him. A plaguey fine craft to sails with no name on her anywheres, keel-haul me else. But Penfeathers winged one of the lubberly rogues, praise God, Martin, which done, and with due time to curse him, every mother's son of him, he turns to him and the carpenter and his mates, there and then to repair damages. Ha, man of work, it's Captain Madam, pal. Godby, says I, did ye chance to see out of a boat, carrying a great bundle in the stern sheets, and rowed by a man in a red cap? Nary a blink, Martin, why? I'm wondering what became of that same bundle. Hove overboard, belike, pal. There's many a strange thing that goes a-floating out to sea from hereabouts, Martin, round me. Belike you're right, says I. Martin, Sir Rupert's ashore to meet her ladyship, so you am free to come above deck if so minded. Nay, I'll bide where I am, Godby. Why then come, Martin, clap your eye on my beauties. Here is guns, Martin. 6 culverins, and t'other sakers, and yonder stern 2 basilisks that shall work ye death and destruction at 2 or 3,000 paces. Above deck amidships I've divers goodly pieces, as minions, falcons, and patereroes with murderers mounted aft to sweep the waste. For her size she's well armed is the faithful friend, Martin. Thus Godby, as he led me from gun to gun, slapping hand on breech or trunnion, and as I hearkened, 'twas hard to recognize the merry peddler in this short, square, grave-faced gunner who spake with mariner's tongue, hitched ever and anon at the broad belt of his galley gaskins, and rolled in his gait already. She's a fair ship, says I, seating myself on one of the great guns mounted astern. She is so, Martin. There's no finer ever sailed from Deptford Port. Which is saying much, split me if it isn't. Though when all said, Martin, I could wish for 20 more men to do justice to my noble guns. Aye, 30 at the least. Are we so short? We carry but 90 and 2 all told, pal, which considering my guns is a pity. Aye, vast pity, plague me else. 'Twould leave me short-handed to serve my guns should they be necessary, which is fair and likely, Martin. And black rogues they are, says I. Never clapped eyes on worse, pal, kick me in wise else, but Cap'n Adam's the man for such, and I mean to work 'em daily, each and every, at my guns as soon as we be well at sea. Ah, there soundeth Toby Hud's pipe. All hands on deck. This should be her ladyship coming aboard. So here's me aloft, and you below, and good luck to both, pal. Saying which he nodded, gave a hitch to his wide galligaskins, and rolled away. Now, coming to the gunport, I have mentioned I must needs pause there a while to look out across the misty river, already darkening to evening, and thus presently beheld a boat, vague and blurred at first, but as it grew nearer, saw in the stern sheets four gallants who laughed and talked gaily enough, and the muffled forms of two women, and in one from the bold free carriage of her head, I recognized, despite hood and cloak, my Lady Joan Brandon. Nay, as the boat drew in, I heard the sweet, vital tones of her voice. And with this in my ears, I caught up my lanthorn and so descended to the oarlop. Now, as I paused at the narrow scuttle that gave down to my noxious hiding place, I thought to hear a step somewhere in the gloom below.
"Ah, God be," says I, "are you down there, man?"
But getting no answer, I descended the ladder, bethinking me of the rats, whereof I had no lack of company, and coming into my dog-hole, closed the rickety door, and having supped, cast myself down upon my bed and blew out the light. And despite the rustle and scutter away there in the dark, beyond my crazy door, I was very soon asleep. And in my sleep, what must I dream of but rats with eyes that glared in the dark, that crawled ever nearer, while one that crept upon my bosom grew and swelled into a great fellow with a steel hook in place of one hand, a face with flashing white teeth and glowing eyes that peered close ere eyes and teeth vanished, and I sunk down and down into a black emptiness of dreamless slumber.
Join me here next week for the next chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.